Turn with me, if you would, to Romans 8. Hallelujah. What I wanted to share that God put on my heart just follows so well with the words that we had there. Is it ringing a little bit, or am I? Oh. I was rebuking the fever earlier. It turned out that the heat was just not turned to cold. I could have dealt with it by doing that. Romans 8:36. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness. That's just does it to me. Eh? Sorry. Just look up a little. Sorry. Or danger, or sword. Who shall separate us? For your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to the slaughter, to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Hallelujah. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
No. Well, some can, some can't. What shall separate us? You know that there is nothing. That list is pretty severe and pretty overwhelming obstacles. But you know what really separates us is internal stuff. The obstacles that are internal. It's what we allow. God says, don't be worried about any of that stuff. Nothing's going to separate us. I'm with you. Emmanuel, God with us. He promised to never leave us nor forsake us. His promise is that he's with us no matter what. Nothing, nothing will chase him away. But we convince ourselves that he is chased away, that there is this obstacle between us, because we listen to a little voice that's telling us lies. But obstacles can be from the enemy. They can even be frustrating people. But often they're from the Lord. Internal obstacles. None of these external stuff, none of this external stuff will be a problem. None of it's going to be an obstacle for us, as God's with us. There'll be setbacks. There'll be things that cause us to dig deeper in him and look to each other in fellowship and just be about what God wants us to do. But what stops us, what becomes a roadblock for us, can often be something that God put in our way. And often it's to show us that he wants us to get raised up to the next level. We're done with this level, so he puts an obstacle in our way so that we'll seek him and push higher. Look to move up in him. An obstacle is designed to elevate you above your circumstances so that you can see something differently and move toward it. Vision isn't just about the direction that you're going in. It's about the height at which God wants you to travel. God wants us to move to the next level, to move up in Him. His invitation would be to us to ask a few questions. And then He asks a few back, and then we ask a few. And that's our relationship with Him. He's training us how to process things through life, how to understand what He's seeing, what He's thinking about, what He wants to say and what He wants to do. It's all about us growing up. Like we have a manual, but we don't really understand it. So we don't really look to it. But it's all about relationship. Everything, if you can handle this, I'm gonna give you some things to write down later, so you may want to get ready to write down some things. But everything is about relationship with Him. Now, can you imagine that for just a minute? Oh, you mean it's not all about me? And I've been kind of tacking God on to the end, and just kind of when I can fit Him in, He becomes a part of my life. If we understand how big He is and how much He loves us, we start to see that everything is about relationship with Him. Everything. And how it relates together in all of this stuff. It's so wonderful. So these things about what's He seeing and what's He thinking and what's He want to say, what's He want to do, that's called walking in the Spirit. And that's what He invites us to do with Him. Amen. Questions allow us to explore things so that we can discover God in ways that we never even imagined. There are things about the nature of God that you need to know before you meet Him in heaven. Things about the nature of God. Who He is. His kindness, His gentleness, His loving kindness, His mercy. Things that He wants you to know here before you get to heaven. It's not all about the destination. He's all about the journey. He's all about relationship. Questions allow us to become open to the truth and to be open to the truth at a higher level than your circumstances, than what's around you. So that we're not ruled by events, we're actually governed by peace and by joy. Amen. And the peace of believing. That's what should govern our lives. Not events, our reaction to events and what things are happening around us. What about that for a lifestyle? To be governed by joy. To count everything as joy. To find the goodness in people. To find the goodness or find the peace in every situation.
Hallelujah.
When you encounter a situation, to not stand there and look at the problem, to instead look for Jesus. Something happens to you. Something is about to unfold. Instead of looking at that thing, we begin to look to Jesus. Isn't that the word, Daryl? To look to Jesus. To go stand next to Him because He is the Prince of Peace. And you may need some at this time. everything, once again, in your life is about relationship to God. Everything in your life is about relationship to God. But we're convinced that it's about us. We've lived our lives like it's about us. And we probably will continue to live our lives like it's about us. But I hope at the end of the sermon today, you'll have a better understanding about how you can change your mind in Christ and move to a different pathway. Here's a question that you can ask God. What is it that you want to be for me right now? What is it, God, that you want to be for me right now? What does he want to be for you right now with what you're looking at in your life, with the obstacles you face? What is it that he wants to be for you right now? Because when you understand that, you can move into it and see things more clearly. Stuff that you hadn't seen before. We get so fixated on a problem or the issue or circumstances that when we ask that question, it's almost like the Lord lifts your head just a little bit. And you can see the problem differently and then move toward it differently. Your steps become more confident. What is it that you want to be for me right now? Jesus. And often I add a little end to that. What is it that you want to be for me right now that you couldn't be for me a little while ago? Because he's always doing something different. And he's always moving us toward his goal and his purpose. You know what that is? That you be just like him. That you be amazing like him. Isn't that amazing? He's moving us toward that. That's his goal and his purpose. Questions start a dialogue with God that opens up the scriptures. It opens up possibilities. It opens up prophetic words that you've had. It allows you to meditate or think deeply about what God is doing. Two of the best questions that are asked in the Bible were asked on the day of Pentecost. I've worked with this before. The first one is, what does this mean? So the day of Pentecost, they asked, what does this mean? What was happening with them that they didn't understand? Tongues of fire coming down on the heads of each of the 120? What does this mean? It's a good question. What does it mean for our relationship, Lord? What does it mean for our relationship in this particular situation? And when you understand what God wants to be for you in the situation, the next question, which was also asked on the day of Pentecost, is, what must I do? What does this mean, and then what must I do? Because there's always a partnership aspect to it. God is wanting to move, but he wants to move with us in partnership. How do I partner with you in this? How do I cooperate with you? How do I jump into that place with you so that we're exploring and discovering together in fellowship? Questions can become navigational tools to allow us to reshape our story and travel in a new direction. Questions often provoke us to get a word of wisdom about something. So it's important that we live in the questions that God is currently asking. And God asks lovingly, he asks peacefully, he asks joyfully and kindly, and often with a sense of humor. He's just awesome. So when he asks in a way, he is opening up a part of his nature. So when he asks kindly, if he asks you something kindly, it's because kindness needs to be an issue in this moment between you and him. You need to discover his kindness in a different way and express that to those that are around you. If he asks you joyfully, then it's going to be a joyful situation, and it's important that you embrace the situation with the joy of the Lord. Sometimes God's questions come in the midst of doing something wrong. I was working with a guy one time, and he was very full of himself, let's say. There was no honor in him, no integrity in him. Everything was just obviously about him and turned back to him. Like if you talk to him for just a moment about something in your life, it wouldn't even be a half a heartbeat, and it'd be back on him and what was happening in his life. And so I said, Lord, what's wrong with this guy? Why can't I get through to him? You ever ask that? Probably you asked that about me, right? And so God said to me, what if there's nothing wrong with him? I don't anticipate those kind of things because I thought it was obvious, you know? What if there's nothing wrong with him? He says, what annoys you is that I treat him the same way that I treat you. Oh. He says, I took everything that was wrong with you and I nailed it to a tree. And I'm dealing with the new creation. I'm dealing with the new man. And when I do that with some other people, you don't like it because you want to deal with the old man. Because we see the old man. It doesn't take a genius to see dirt. Think about it. He says to me, what if there is just something missing in him? What if it's just something missing? And I want you to work on the same thing that I'm working on to provide the thing that's missing in his life.
Hallelujah. That's good.
That we should both call him up to where he should be in life. Right? What if there's nothing wrong with him? Ah! We're called to have fellowship with someone's potential, not with their old man.
Hallelujah. That's a good one.
That has nothing to do with where we were this morning.
Hallelujah.
One time I was praying and was praying about a particular problem that we're having, not between us, but that we're, you know, the church was going in, and God said to me, what if the circumstances are not the problem? What if it's your perception that's the problem? Turn with me to Colossians, if you would. Colossians 3, verse 1. Colossians 3 and verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's a whole different way of looking at problems, Lord. And you actually wrote this that long ago? The issue here is that kingdom rules are different than worldly rules. The world has one way of doing things, and most of us learned how to deal with things through the worldly eyes. But kingdom rules are different. God's rules are different. You should run by the rules of the kingdom, not by the rules of the world. You still have to obey the speed limits. If logic was correct, why would God want you to live by faith? Because there is nothing, absolutely nothing logical about faith. Right? It calls you outside of faith, or outside of logic. It doesn't make sense in any way to have to live by faith. Faith is amazing. God says, come, let us reason together, right? Let's think about this thing. I will make your sins that are as scarlet as white as snow. I will. Now, is that logical? Red turns white. It doesn't. But he can take anything and make it into something else.
Amen.
Right? Let's reason together about this thing. You're thinking logically, and he's thinking faithfully. He's thinking, what may be impossible for man is not impossible for God. Things that you're looking at through what you can do just don't equate to him. He's so much bigger than that. Logic is good if you don't have access to wisdom. Wisdom provokes faith. Wisdom will take you to faith every time. Not worldly wisdom, but a wisdom that's from heaven. I heard a question by a preacher, and I thought it was so good I wrote it down. What would it take for you to believe that I am unceasingly magnificent toward you all the time? What would it take for you to believe that I am unceasingly magnificent toward you all the time? Would that take a bit of a mind shift? Because that's how he approaches us. He wants to be magnificent toward us all the time. He's not wrapped up in what trips you up. He's not hung up with that. He is so in love with you that he wants to be magnificent toward you all the time. The thing we need to do is renew our minds so that we can understand that. So, I have for you a series of 11 questions. This is your test. It's not really a test. It's 11 questions that you can take with you for the rest of your existence here in this earth suit that you're in. It's 11 questions that You can ask on every level that you get to with God, because the answers will change dependent upon where you are with Him and what you're doing with Him at a given time. First one is, do you believe what I believe about you? This is God talking. Do you believe what God believes about you? Do you believe that you're fully loved? Do you believe you're worthy to receive His love? Do you believe that He loves you? Without measure. Do you believe, do you really believe the things that He believes about you? Number two, when will you prove me? When will you prove me? When will you prove my acceptance of you, my presence with you? Do circumstances, this is in the same question, this is not a new question. Circumstances govern you, or does trust govern you? You prove God by moving to trust instead of being in the, oh no, here we go again. Right? When are we going to prove Him? Third question. Can you see yourself powerful in Jesus? We have believed in a powerful devil, many of us. And we've believed in the weakness of our flesh. But Christ in us is powerful beyond measure. So how can we get to that place where we actually believe that we're powerful in Jesus? Same question, just another way of looking at it. Do you believe that you are confined to the way things are right now? Or the way things were for your family forever? Do you believe that you're confined to dealing with things the way they've always been dealt with? Wow. Or can you see yourself powerful in Jesus? Powerful in Jesus to change things, right? He'll do it with you. Number four. Beloved, I love impossible situations. Why don't you let me into yours? Why aren't you letting Him into your impossible situation right now? That thing that's in the back of your mind that you just wish would change. That thing that keeps tripping you up just a little bit, or a whole bunch. Why don't you let Him into those situations? Amen. Renewing our mind in Christ. Five. When will you learn peace? The Prince of Peace left us peace. Peace that passes understanding. Peace that the world doesn't understand. When will we learn that? When will panic and fear and worry and anxiety not be our first reaction to every situation? Peace is so strong that it removes anxiety. Anxiety can't live where peace habitates. It's an amazing thing. When will we learn peace? Here's a fun one. I'm making war on your negativity. Whose side do you want to be on? I'm making war on your negativity. Whose side do you want to be on? You've gotten so good at sarcasm, negative comments, pessimism. It just kind of springs out of your mouth. Do you want to stay on that side? Or do you want to be on God's side? Because he doesn't want any of that. He's making war on that stuff. That doesn't fit where love fits. It doesn't fit where kindness fits, where gentleness fits. You are in Jesus so that God can treat you like Jesus. He put you in Jesus, safest place on earth. Hebrew word for safety is Yeshua. You know that? So cool. You are in Jesus so that he can treat you like Jesus. That's the way he's going to treat you. You think he's treating you like you deserve to be treated, and so you think a whole bunch of stuff that's happening in your life is all about God. It's not. He treats you exactly like he treats Jesus. It's so good that we can't get our brains wrapped around it. Number 7. Do you know that my plan is to make you as amazing as I am? God speaking. Jesus speaking. Do you know that his plan is to make you as amazing as he is? The Creator is creating still. He's going to make us into his image. That's the process that we're going through. We will never be God. We will never be gods. But his plan is to make us as amazing as he is. And yet, he still gets to be God. So cool. Number 8. As you renew your mind in the Spirit, what do you see that you couldn't see before? Every level you get to, every time you're in God, what is it that you can see right now that you couldn't see before because your mind has been renewed?
Hallelujah.
And is continuing to be renewed? So as you renew your mind in the Spirit, what do you see that you couldn't see before? How do you look at people differently now? How do you look at yourself differently now? Do you see yourself more like him now than you did 5 years ago? Do you see yourself as more capable in the Spirit now than you did 5 years ago? Do you see things differently now than you did before? Number 9. Is your mindset hostile toward me, or are you open to learning? You need to answer that sometimes because we get stuck in our way. And we put up obstacles to God and to learning. Many of us came into the kingdom and haven't grown a day since. Well, I'm saved. That's all I need to worry about. And so we've picked up vernacular and ways to speak and all that kind of stuff, but we've never actually learned in the kingdom. because we're not interested in it. We're so interested in running our own lives and dealing with things our own way that we're not open to learning. So is your mindset hostile toward me, or are you open to learning? Number 10, what would you like me to be for you now? God would ask you, what is it you want me to be for you now? We ask him, what do you want to be for me now that you couldn't be before? But he puts the question back on us sometimes. What do you want me to be for you right now? What is it that's stirring in your heart that you want me to answer? Because he's in a partnership with us. Number 11. Are you as ready to receive as I am delighted to give? Are you as ready to receive as I am delighted to give? God is the ultimate giver and delights in giving. Are you an open receptor to his giving? Or do you have trouble receiving from him? So in that question is another question. Do you approach prayer as a widow or as a bride?
Wow. Come on, preach that.
As a widow, you don't have relationship. It's kind of a demand, and looking for needs to be met, things to be fixed. Stuff needs to be done around here. But a bride asks questions from, I expect this to be done. And not only done, but done with a flourish and flowers and chocolate. When you ask from two different ways of thinking. The approach of a truly beloved one, or one that needs her needs met. My daughter Amanda is very careful about how she asks me something, because she knows that I'll move heaven and earth with all of my ability to meet her needs. And a bride looks at that even more than that. Because she's loved without measure. Amen. Loved fully. God loves you too much to let you stay the way you are. Are you ready to move with him?
Oh, yeah.
So there's 11 questions that you can take with you till you get called up. Ask them regularly. See where you stand in your relationship with him. Questions are an excellent, excellent way of building relationship. They're allowed, and they move your life in God away from him being your heavenly butler. Lord, I have this list, same list as yesterday, but I'm going to read it off to you, okay? Will you get it this time? It moves it from that into something of a you really love me relationship. Oh, you were serious about that stuff you said. That's amazing. Oh, you think I'm amazing? Whoa. It is so refreshing to be with him that there isn't any place for religion. It is the best news ever. That's what the gospel is. The best news ever.
Yeah.
Deborah has a definition for the gospel. I love it. The good, glad, merry news that makes you want to sing and dance and twirl about with great joy. Is the gospel that good to you? Is it amazing? Because it is amazing to him. And he paid for it, for you. Are you picking it up? So I hope that some of those things will move you into renewing your mind in him. Not staying in the same stuck place. Obstacles are often from God with a direct intention of moving us to something better. To have us rise up over top of it and to move on with him. Because we get stuck where we are. We're so complacent in what we do. We want to find a comfortable spot that we can sort of deal with everything. Might not be just right, but I can live with this. There is a better way to live. The fullness of Christ. Freedom in a way that you couldn't imagine. But I hope you do.